Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
If you will turn to Revelation chapter 1. As I continue our series on spiritual warfare, as you can see, today's message is only by the blood. Only by the blood. I'm going to be talking about the blood today. And it's really important. Probably the most important message in this series. Only by the blood. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Christ Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We just sang that. To him all glory and honor. You know, most everyone has heard of the Passover. You may not understand exactly what it was, what it meant. I remember years and years ago when I first heard that term Passover, I just never really understood what it meant. And I believe there's probably a lot of people here today that maybe don't have a complete understanding of it. I'm getting a lot of thump, Corey, if you can try to help me out as I go. The Passover. The Passover is when the Israelites were in captivity still in Egypt, and God had been sending plagues upon Egypt, and he was getting ready to deliver them out of Egypt. And so he was sending one final plague. And so in Exodus chapter 12, we see where the Passover was instituted. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you.'" Moses was saying, okay, enough of this. God's starting over. Your days, you're getting new days. Your new days are beginning now. Your new months are going to begin now. And so then he goes on in verse 12, and the Lord says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." The Bible records this significant event in history. It's an awesome demonstration of God's power and his avenue to freeing not only individuals and families, but entire nations. Each of the plagues that God sent confronted Pharaoh's refusal, his rebellion, and also it confronted the demonic gods that Egypt worshipped. Every plague showed God's ability to break the power of darkness and hell. But the biggest demonstration of them all was the source of redemption and its power. The source of redemption for God's people and the power in that redemption, the blood of the Lamb. That was the source and the power. You see, the Passover wasn't just about freeing the Israelites from bondage. There was a bigger picture. And the bigger picture for them and us is understanding the power of the blood and the process of redemption that it brings. All sacrifice in the Old Testament, as you read that, all the sacrifice was based on blood sacrifice. Blood sacrifice. And through that comes deliverance, protection, and restoration. But those blood sacrifices that we read about in the Old Testament, as significant as they were, they really were never able, they never could seal victory over sin and death in finality. Hebrews 10:5 says that sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Jesus' words. See, Jesus came to provide us what we couldn't provide for ourselves. He shed His blood for us as a protection from sin and death, and as a cleansing for sin, and a provision for forgiveness. Not us forgiving, but a provision for His forgiveness to us. And so, what that means is, what I've just explained to you is, there's life in the blood. Amen. There's life in the blood. That's our first point of this whole message. There's life in the blood. The Passover was God's illustration of what was to come and how the blood of the Lamb, Christ, would deliver, free, protect, and break the power of sin and death once and for all. So today we're talking about the blood of the new covenant, the blood of Christ. And the good news is this: God does not require us to beg for this. What He wants us to do is learn to access. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the keys to the kingdom? Access and what? Anybody remember? Access and authority. Those are the keys to the kingdom that are given to us. He wants us to learn to access the power of the blood. Just as Israel came under the blood at Passover, as true believers in Jesus, we can come under the blood. The blood's protective covering. You see what He instructed them to do? He said, I want you to, every family, to take a lamb. Not just any lamb, but the firstborn lamb in that year. And take it and keep it for 10 days. And then, on the 14th day, you're to kill it. You're to kill it, and you're to take the blood from it, and you're to put it over the doorpost and the lintel. The doorpost, basically what we call today's time, is a door frame. And of course, the lintel is built in, but it's the lintel across the top and the doorpost. So they took that blood, and they splattered it on the doorpost and over the door, the lintel. That's the blood Passover. And so I want us to look at today, I want us to see four provisions of the blood. Four provisions of the blood. Four provisions that the blood gives us. Every Christian should know how to appropriate the blood of Jesus. Amen. Just as the blood was applied to the doorpost in the Passover, the blood for the Christian has been applied to the door of our hearts. Hebrews, look at Hebrews 10. Verse 19, Hebrews 10, 19. Okay, I'm going to start at 18, but I think 19 is what's going to be on the screen that I put. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things were purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Without this, and I wasn't in chapter 10 there. I'm getting there, okay? But here's what I want you to see. The last thing I read there was actually 9:22. It says, and according to law, almost all things are purified with the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You see, it's only by the blood. Now look at where I told you to go. 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water, meaning the blood. Okay? As believers, you see, we can appropriate these four provisions by the fact that His blood was shed for us. If we understand what was provided for us with the blood, we can learn what it means to access that, access the power of it. You see, when we plead the blood of Jesus, when we plead the blood of Jesus over circumstances, situations, whatever, we claim the protection from spiritual death, we claim deliverance from bondage of sin, and we claim a new beginning of hope. As we plead the blood, we drive back the forces of evil that are affecting earth. And so the first thing, the first provision I want you to see is the blood provides protection. The blood provides protection. Exodus 12, verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. You see, that night, when the Passover blood, the Passover came, that night, the plague that God sent throughout Egypt killed the firstborn of everything, of animal and of man. And when the death angel came to the house, came by the house or passed by the dwelling places, if that angel saw the blood, then it passed over. That's where we get Passover. And those people were safe. There was protection. Where did protection come from? The blood. You see, the blood provides protection. The Lord was providing protection for Israel, but also, there's a bigger picture here. Don't just get stuck in the past. He was providing protection for Israel, but also the ultimate protection for humankind. You see, the judgment of death is on everybody who doesn't come under the covering of the blood. Even today, the judgment of death, spiritual death, eternal death. So, first thing, the blood provides the protection. The second thing it provides is deliverance. Deliverance. By the blood of the Lamb, the people were given deliverance. The blood that protected them from the death angel was the same blood that broke Pharaoh's yoke of bondage over them. You see, they were in captivity. Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. They were slaves. They were brutalized, abused, starved, all kinds of things. And they were in bondage. They couldn't escape. And they'd been there for years. But the power of the blood provided deliverance, because when that final plague hit, it broke Pharaoh. It broke that rebellious spirit. And they were set free. He said, that's enough. Let them go. By the blood of the Lamb, they were given deliverance. In the blood that protected them from the death angel, that broke Pharaoh's yoke, in the same way Christ's blood gives complete freedom to us to walk with God, free from sin and walking in liberty and freedom. So the blood provides protection, deliverance. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Just back to the left a little bit. Colossians chapter 1. verse 13. You with me?
Yes.
This is good stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
Colossians 1, 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In whom we have what?
Redemption.
Through what?
His blood.
For what?
The forgiveness
of sins. So verse 13, we've been delivered. In verse 14, redemption through the blood. It's only by the blood that redemption comes. And then the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Only by the blood.
Amen.
So the third thing the blood provides, I want you to see, is a new beginning. A new beginning. I'm going to read it to you again. In Exodus, it says, Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And he was getting ready to bring the Passover plague, the death plague. And he's saying, a new beginning. This blood is going to be the new beginning. You're starting over. This is where your month, your new days will start. There's probably some people that came in here today thinking that you're at the end of your rope, at the end of your hope, your end of your strength. Maybe you're overwhelmed with finances. Maybe a relationship falling apart, a health issue, work, school, weary, depressed, and you don't know what to do. You feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and the little light you saw was the oncoming train. Listen, only through the power of the blood, the promise comes to you too.
Amen.
God wants you to know that today. The promise comes to you too.
Amen.
The Bible tells us if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It also tells us that today can be a new beginning of days, as the Lord spoke to Moses, the same thing. Today can be a new beginning of days to you because of the blood. Because of the blood, and only by the blood, you can have a future and a hope.
Amen.
And then the last thing, the fourth thing is the blood provides a witness. The blood provides a witness. You see, the blood on the doorpost at Passover was a testimony that there was safety for anyone who would come in. It was a testimony of faith and trust in God for those who applied it. I wonder how much of our homes give witness to the covering of the blood. I mean, when people come to your house or mine, do they notice anything different? Is the atmosphere different from that of the world? And I'm not talking about pictures or symbols or crosses or any of that stuff. Is there something they can sense of the Spirit of God because the blood of Jesus covers our household? Is there anything evident without you having to say anything? A sense of peace or maybe security because the blood of Jesus is over your house? You know, I'm sure when the Egyptians saw them painting the doorposts with blood, they were making fun of them, mocking, thinking they're loony. Just like the people did to Noah when he was building that giant, stupid ark. It's never rained. What's this guy doing? But the next morning, I'm sure there were screams of grief and wailing heard throughout Egypt as they were confronted with their own choice of unbelief. Their own choice of unbelief. You see, our homes should be a witness to all that Jesus has done in our lives.
Amen.
Of His protection. Of His deliverance and provision. Of His restoration and His transforming grace.
Amen.
You see, once you accept Jesus Christ, the power of the blood grants authority to plead the blood. over issues, over circumstances and situations in life.
Amen.
This is accessing. It's called accessing the power that's proven to overcome the power of sin, affliction, death, and even hell itself. Communion is another way we give witness to power of, to the power of the blood and what it has accomplished in our lives. Would you guys come up? You know, I hope that we do communion once a month here. And one of the reasons we only do communion once a month is because I don't ever want it to be a habit or just a religious form, a religious ceremony and act you go through. I want us to understand what those elements mean, what they mean from where they came from. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him, the adversary, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the end, to the death. In other words, their life was given to Christ. And that's true for us today too. We overcome the adversary only by the blood. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Testimony of who He is and what He's done in our lives. You see, every time we come to the Lord's table, we're celebrating in Christ, the Lamb of God, the same thing that the Passover lamb provided. It's the same thing. It's the power of the blood that protects us, that delivers us from sin and death, spiritual death, and opens a new day, a new day. And that power becomes a witness and an invitation to the world. To the world. A world that's dying, but watching. Only by the blood. I want us to understand today the power of the blood, so that hopefully communion will never be looked at the same. Not just something you do because we line up and go through and do it. We're going to celebrate. Actually, we're not going to celebrate the invitation today. The altar call is communion. Now, let me preempt it with this because it's my responsibility. Communion is for believers, for those who know in their heart they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and given their life to Him. There's power in the blood. There's healing in the blood. There's hope in the blood. There's restoration in the blood. There's a new start in the blood, a new day in the blood. There's hope in the blood. There's forgiveness in the blood. There's freedom in the blood. Only by the blood. And so here's what we're going to do today as I prepare the table. You prepare your heart. I believe there's people here that need healing. Healing in their bodies. I believe there's people here that need healing in their hearts, in their emotions. I believe there's people that need healing in relationships. There's people here that need to be freed from the bondage of sin. From addictions. From hang-ups, from all sorts of things. You see, the blood was not just to free us from sin and spiritual death. The blood was shed to free us from all these other things that come from sin or sometimes result from sin or result from a godless culture. And so today, if any of those things are you, when we start, when the worship team start, you decide if that's you. You allow Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. There'll be some people here on either side will be here to pray if you want specific prayer. But you know what your need is, and God knows what your need is. And I want you to ask Him. Take a moment to pray and ask Him what that need is. And then as you're led, we're not going to line up, and this is not typical communion. This is a time of healing by the blood and what it represents. This juice represents the blood of Christ. The bread represents His body. And so as you're led and when you're led, and don't do it because someone else does it. Please, please don't do that. But if you're led to come, I believe God, if God wants to heal you. He wants to heal your emotions. He wants to heal your body. He wants to heal relationships. He wants to break you free from whatever that binds you. You come and you take a piece of bread. It's already cut up for you. Take a piece of bread and touch it into the juice and you take it. And I believe today God is going to heal you through the blood. What this represents is the blood. I believe He's going to heal those things in people's lives today. He's going to give you new days, a new beginning today, a new hope for some of you that came in here hopeless. And so, let's just pray for just a minute. And you ask God, God, show me. Show me my need this morning. Maybe you know your need. You ask Him to show you your need. And you ask Him what you're supposed to do. It may begin with confession to Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know it's only by the blood. Only by the blood. And through the power of the blood, that redemption comes. And so, Father, we thank You that the source of the blood, Jesus Christ, and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, raised Jesus from the dead and lives today and has power and authority over sin and death, over addictions, over bondages of all sorts of, and kinds known to humanity. And so, Father, we come to You today in faith, and we take these elements, trusting You, depending on You, calling upon You for Your grace of healing and wholeness and freedom and release in the name of Jesus. Come one at a time. You come as You're led.